Agenda item number seven, report and possible discussion on legislative update by Matt Phillips, Government and Customer Relations Manager.
Mr. Chairman, members, good morning. I'll start off by congratulating all of you because today you don't have to listen to me give a legislative update. So you're welcome. We're going to have Buddy Jones and Dan Pearson from Hoco Partners come up in a minute and kind of give you guys a crystal ball in terms of what's going on in Austin, how that relates to statewide water policy and how BRA fits into that with some of the things that we're doing. Before they come up, kind of by way of introduction, and I know Phil would echo these remarks, but the BRA has been very, very fortunate over many years to have the relationship that we have with Hoco Partners and to have them representing our interest down in Austin. They are, by anyone's measure, the top lobby firm in the state of Texas. They do a great job representing us. They employ a talented bunch of folks. The two guys that are going to talk to you today have without a doubt forgotten more about navigating the legislative process than a lot of us will learn in an entire lifetime of trying to do it. So, and it's because of that that I'm fairly certain we would stand very little chance of survival in the legislative meat grinder were it not for the good work that they do for us. So again, we're very, very fortunate to have them on the team and obviously very happy to have them here with us today. So with that, I'm going to get out of their way and let them come up and talk to you all for a little bit, Buddy.
Thanks, Matt, and Mr. Chairman, and honorable members of the board, the River Authority. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I'm Buddy Jones from Hillsborough. I was a district attorney in Hill County and then member of the legislature and the House of Representatives from Hillsborough. So I've watched this esteemed great organization make such a difference in this region, and it's just a pleasure to be here. As Matt told you, I actually started with the Brazos River Authority in 1985, and Carson Hogue was the executive director general, and things have changed a lot with the Brazos River Authority since 1985, as they have with the Texas legislature. Some great changes, some not so good, but we've always managed as a family together to work through those changes. Water has become probably the most precious commodity that the legislature talks about every session. Used to be oil and gas, economic development at one time, but water seems to have to go through every session as the most important issue we're faced with in Texas today. And it's precious. It's important for us to understand that the issue of water is viewed in a statewide view by the legislature. They don't say, well, we're going to let the Brazos River Authority basin take care of that basin, and we'll worry about what we do down in Hidalgo County ourselves. No, sir. And they look at it as a statewide resource, and the legislature views it holistically. Consequently, we will have input, whether we invite it or not, from a House member from Hidalgo County, or a senator from Mineola out in East Texas, or someone from up in Dumas, whether they're in our basin or not. And it's important that we realize that this is looked at in a statewide, holistic manner. Now, it's one other thing I want to tell you. The job of a legislature, they think, is to legislate. Now, I'm a former House member, so I can say this. I watched with interest yesterday during the football games. There's a commercial on for insurance. Did y'all, anybody watch football yesterday? And there's a woman sitting in a nice home, and she's on the phone calling her son, who's James Bond. And he's at the top of this tall building, and he's fighting all these bad, bad guys who are after coming in on helicopters, and he's kicking them and hitting them, and his mother calls on the cell phone, and he picks it up, and he says, Mom, this is a bad time. She says, well, you know, the squirrels are back in the attic, and your daddy has taken it personally. He's not going to call an exterminator, and he's trying to fight for his life. The point of the commercial is, for insurance, you know, if you're a mother, you're going to call at bad times and talk to your son. Well, if you're a legislator, you feel like you've got to legislate. So we need to understand that, and that's what Dan and I and the folks at Hilco are dealing with day in and day out. And the fact that we have our own statute, you would think that it's a sacrosanct entity and that we ought to just take care of what we do here, but that's not what we're faced with in the Texas legislature, and that's not the way legislators think. Consequently, we're going to have things like water masters and legislative audits and periodic reviews by the legislature. And a legislator worries and pays attention to entities they cannot control, and that's river authorities. From 1985 till now, we have battled bills to try to put river authorities under the sunset process. And that would be devastating to our bond capacity, and it's just not meant to be. But we have to fight it every 2 years, and we will continue to do so. So what we do is we try to walk a fine line between input, constructive input, from the members of the legislature and state agencies versus micromanaging. And that's where you all give us the authority and the ability to go try to walk that fine line on your behalf. Next session, we're going to have a brand new chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee. Jim Keffer's retiring. So we're going to have to face a new natural resources chairman. In the Senate, we're going to have a brand new natural resources chairman. Troy Frazier's retiring. The Lieutenant Governor just appointed Craig Estes from Wichita Falls to chair that committee, but he's new, and so we'll have to feel our way along there legislatively. I don't see any changes, really, in the leadership of the House or the Senate. There are two different bodies, and there's really two different landscapes. So we've got to walk another fine line between the east wing of the Capitol and the west wing of the Capitol. But we are grateful for the opportunity to work for the Brazos River Authority. Our work, Mr. Chairman, has been a blessing to all of us, and Dan and I are pledged to continue to help and do what this board and the administration deem necessary. Dan, do you want to come and talk a little bit about some of the issues that we're going to be faced with over the next 2 years?
Thank you, buddy, and I want to take a minute to just add my personal appreciation and thanks for being a part of the Brazos River Authority team for some time. You've been blessed with a continuity of a great board in this organization, and you've also been blessed with staff that are superior in every way. We interact with a lot of different groups through our company, Hilco Partners. We interact with a lot of different water authorities and bodies that either consume, produce, or sell and distribute water. And the people that y'all have within the Brazos River Authority staff here are certainly at the top of any of those organizations, and we appreciate that as well. As Buddy said, the legislature has a desire to legislate. Well, they don't even take a break when they're not in session. So we have a process that we're going through right now that happens in every even-numbered year since they're not in session, called interim charges. And those interim charges are set by both the Lieutenant Governor and the Speaker for their particular body of legislators. And for the most part, those interim charges have already been defined, and in some cases, hearings have begun to occur in Austin and around the state. But that process evolves. They could always add additional interim charges as the interim period continues. And as Buddy said, just like during the regular session, water remains a significant topic of discussion. During the interim, that's the case as well. And both the Lieutenant Governor and the Speaker have both given appropriate charges to the committees in their purview. In the Senate, that would be both the Senate Natural Resources Committee and the newly formed last session Ag and Water Committee that Senator Perry chairs. And the House side, as Buddy said, Chairman Keffer is retiring, but he is continuing in that capacity during the interim, and so they've begun to set a schedule for hearings that will occur within that body as well. And then to a lesser extent, there's an Environmental Regulation Committee in the House that we monitor on behalf of this organization as well, because that deals sometimes with the permitting and compliance and regulatory authorities of the TCEQ, which I'll interact with quite a bit. In terms of what are they looking at, what are they talking about during the interim, believe it or not, even though we go back to Senate Bill 1 that created the whole regional planning process, of which the Brazos River Authority is intimately involved in and helps administrate, every once in a while the legislature does kind of tend to look back in its rearview mirror and say, now what did we do and why did we do that? And the regional planning process is a good example of that. We all know that the regional groups get together and they, on a local basis, come up with what they believe the demands for water are going to be in the future and how are we going to meet that demand. We're going to use surface water, groundwater, lakes, desalinization, conservation. It's all over the map. And those regional groups then roll those plans into the Water Development Board, who then puts them into a statewide water plan. And not too long ago, the legislature said, well, we need to do some more prioritization of that plan, because they get frustrated that they don't see anything happening. Now, again, they dip in and dip out. They're not in it neck deep like you folks are, but that's an issue to them. And as a part of that, during this interim, I think we're going to see discussions in both the House and the Senate committees about the regional planning process. Is it working? And if it's not, why not? And I think the why not is the important part of this discussion. Again, they look at it and say, why aren't things getting done? Why do we not have more water resources today than we had 15, 20 years ago? So they look at things like desalinization. They look at what are we going to do to manage groundwater. They look at can we build more lakes. And the thing that they did most recently, of which y'all are very aware of, is they put money where their mouth is. So they created, through the Water Development Board, billions of dollars of additional funding opportunities for water projects in this state. The voters had to approve it because it was a constitutional amendment the way they funded it. The voters did that overwhelmingly. And so now you have an expectation that things are going to happen, because, right, money, government always solves everything with money, right? Because money's sometimes easier to throw at a problem than trying to fix underlying problems that may be an issue. And I think during this interim, we're going to be talking about some of those underlying problems. This authority has been more engaged, in my opinion, than any other group in the state of Texas that has anything to do with water in trying to meet its future water demands. I would put in a close second behind them probably the LCRA. And then there's all other types of groups around the state that in their own little areas are trying to do their best to try to accommodate future demands as well. But this authority has been engaged. And as a result of that, you've felt the pressures and the pains and the challenges of trying to accomplish some of those goals and projects. The legislature is going to want to talk about during this interim, why haven't we seen more projects brought to fruition? And if I just want to use, not from an editorial standpoint, but just a practical example, if we look at our systems operating permit that y'all will probably be briefed on more later today, that started 15 years ago. And that was never a challenge from the BRA's vantage point of the dollar cost. Because of the creative nature of that permit application, it doesn't require the enormous expenditures of reservoir construction and the times associated with that. So it wasn't money that caused it to take 15 years, and we're still not there yet. It's the process. And I'm not being critical of the process. The way the process has worked has been exactly the way the legislature, through the laws that it's passed, the rules that are developed within the TCEQ and other agencies, require that application to move forward. But I use it only as an example. If the legislature wants projects built faster, they've got to look at the process. It's not just money. And so I know for a fact that in the House and the Senate, those discussions are going to happen. Whether it results in any change or not, I'm not predicting that. But I know that that discussion will happen. Also, the permitting process itself. And I'm not talking about for the type of permit that systems operating represents, because that's a big, complex process. But other types of permits that one has to get to go and construct and produce more water, whether it's groundwater, whether it's surface water, whatever it is, that's going to get a lot of discussion. Again, because there's no question that that process creates time and cost. And I think there's a sensitivity that we need to get more things done in the state. Groundwater management will be a common topic every interim and every legislative session. The BRA, to this point, has not engaged significantly in groundwater production. You have interest in it. You are going to have groundwater as part of your future solution for water demands in this state. That's with the fact that the BRA is blessed with a basin that has water in it when it rains and a series of lakes to store it in. There's a lot of parts of this state that are growing very rapidly that do not have access to surface water, and so groundwater is indeed their only solution, whether that's fresh water or desalinization of salt water. And so the management of groundwater is going to become a more and more critical part of our debate in the state. The state of Texas, 97% of the land that's owned here is owned by individuals, privately owned, not government. And so in this state, groundwater is considered a private property right, and therein is the rub. If we have groundwater resources that are significant, which we do, and we manage them through groundwater conservation districts that aren't completely holistic of an aquifer but are county boundary driven, then you have a patchwork of rules and regulations and requirements that doesn't lend itself to development of water. It does lend itself to protection of property rights, which is important in this state. So that debate will continue. The last thing I would say is that water conservation and reuse, again using our systems operating permit as an example, that's a reuse permit. A significant part of that comes from the reuse of water that's already been used by someone else. Every drop of water is already valuable and important, and the reuse of that water is going to become more and more debatable in the future because it represents water that somebody's already spent money to use. It goes back into a river source that makes it waters of the state again, except in limited situations. But guess what? Historically, downstream, there have been communities, businesses, et cetera, that have invested hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, in anticipation of that water coming down the river. And if somebody is reusing it up front, upstream from them legally, that's less water that's in the river that impacts their investment downstream. That's a challenge that the state will continue to work on. Buddy made the comment about the broader aspect of what we do on behalf of BRA. It's extremely important that y'all realize that you cannot make your decisions in a vacuum. And I know you already know that. And by a vacuum, I don't mean within your basin. I mean within the state. y'all decide to do something here, or when any river authority decides to do something in their own basin, the legislature as a whole, through its committees and through the processes that I've already described, they hear about it, they learn about it, and they view it from a statewide perspective, because even though that's not happening in their district, it's something that could happen or should happen, or they don't want to happen. And so it gets discussed on a statewide basis, and it's very important. I think Buddy and I feel like if there's value that we bring to this organization, it's the ability to keep what you feel like are your localized decisions within your basin in perspective of the whole total of the debate that goes on in the state of Texas as it relates to water. Because it would be very easy for someone who doesn't have a dog in the hunt in the Brazos Basin to make bad decisions from a water policy position that would impact this board and this authority without understanding how that happens, because they're not accustomed to or in tune with the individual decisions that you've made. And so a big part of what we do is constantly trying to impart what is important to the Brazos River Basin to the decision makers and the body as a whole and the legislature in making sound public policy as it relates to water. And we'll continue to do that during this interim, and we'll do it next session. I guess I would close in just saying that when it comes to water, there really aren't any local initiatives. Because everyone, whether you're the regulator at the TCEQ or Water Development Board level and our Parks and Wildlife, every local decision has the potential of being a precedent that now has to be dealt with on a statewide basis, and every local decision has the ability to impact statewide policy. And so what you gentlemen and ladies are tasked with is taking care of your basin, but understanding that you're doing it with a whole lot of people watching. And we like to think that we can help move some of the fog every once in a while to where they have a clearer view of what you're doing and why you're doing it. Again, we greatly appreciate the opportunity to be a part of your team. We'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Do y'all represent any other water authorities?
Yes, sir. We represent the Guadalupe Blanco River Authority. We represent the San Jacinto River Authority. And then we represent other types of authorities that aren't river authorities, but they're basically water purveyors.
As you're meeting with the legislators, maybe perhaps the frustrated legislators that they don't see more improvements, and explain to them that it's not necessarily a financial issue, it's a permitting issue. How are those discussions coming?
It's tough. I was privileged to be very involved when the SWIFT funding concepts were developed, when then Chairman Ritter in the House was coming up with the ideas of how to expand the funding levels. We had numerous conversations that I represent, or Hilco represents, several entities that, quite frankly, money has never been the challenge because of their bonding ratings, et cetera. They can get access to cheap money. It's more so, how do you get something from here to there? And quite frankly, I've commented about the continuity of this board, and it's extremely important, but we represent people. We represent a group called the West Texas Partnership, which is made up of the cities of San Angelo, Midland, and Abilene. And they're trying to come up with some regional solutions for water in the future in that very arid part of the state. And guess what? That's headed up by mayors who are elected to two-year terms. It is extremely difficult to keep something that important moving forward because of the challenges of the process. And voters, you know, can decide that, hey, I haven't seen anything out of the money you guys have been spending around. Let's get some new guys in here. Well, the water problem's the same. And so that discussion is a tough one, because the last thing the legislature wants to do is to take away the process that gives the public an opportunity to have their rightful say in significant matters that involve water or air quality or all the other things that fall under that natural resource.
What are the permitting processes? Because where I'm from, I'm familiar with lengthy permitting processes that are not always understood by perhaps most of the parties involved. Mm-hmm. Is there a handful of particular permitting processes that are causing the long lead times?
If you're talking about all types of permits, I can tell you that under permits that you have to get for air quality purposes, for example, in that particular case, that's a right to do business in many ways. You can't take a shovel of dirt out of the ground of a $400 million project till you have an air permit. And so if that's contested, which they usually are, you're looking at probably a 3 or 4 year process to get that permit. And I can tell you they can go to Louisiana and get one in a third of that amount of time. I can tell you all the states that compete with Texas that they could go to and get one faster than that. And the reason they get them faster in those states is because in those states, the states have themselves decided we're just going to do what EPA does, and it's called notice and comment. But in Texas, we have a contested case hearing process, which is much more robust for the public to have an opportunity to impact that permit. And it's the balance between making sure you give the public its right to affect the permit and not have the process get used to drag out a permit application to the point the applicant says, hell with it, I can't do this. And that's a tough balance. I don't know the answer. But it's one that the legislature will be very cautious with. And I would tell them to be very cautious with it. Don't let speed get in the way of making sure that you've got a good process. And I don't think they'll make that mistake. And I say that knowing full well that we've got an application that's been ongoing for 15 years right here in this authority.
Kind of kills momentum as well, though.
Well, and it scares people off because of the cost. I mean, you got to be willing to understand you're going to run a gauntlet, and you've got to stick with it, and you got to pay the cost.
Well, I wish you luck.
It's not just you guys.
I wish us luck.
Yes, sir.
Put under some kind of schedule for review?
Yes, sir. Buddy mentioned the fact that we had opposed, as did every other river authority and water authority in the state, opposed a straight-out sunset requirement. I used to run large state agencies, and I know what sunset is. And he hit upon the reason that it doesn't work. If it's under sunset, you literally, every certain number of years, whatever your schedule is, it's like a reauthorization at the federal level. If you don't pass a sunset bill, you go away. Well, that's okay if you're a governmental agency and you're getting appropriations and all you do is, you know, do something that's supposed to benefit society. But in the case of the River Authority, y'all spent all morning long, what are you talking about? You're talking about financials and you're talking about money and investments, etc. You can't have an environment where you're dealing with rating companies and bond houses where you're having to explain to them, well, we really won't go away in 5 years. That just says we will. We'll still be here. Well, they don't, you know how they work. They don't do that. They take it literally. And so what happened was over these multiple times of going down that same rabbit trail, all the authorities say, we don't have anything to hide, but we got to do this the right way. So what we have now is we have a review by the state auditor and the LBB, which is sunset-like, but it's not sunset. And that's part of the legislature, as Buddy said, wanting to have more control over things that they created but don't believe that they have enough control over. In the case of the BRA, and again, it's part of the, I guess, the benefit of being out there trying to make things happen, we were the first river authority in the state of Texas to go through that process. And both the LDB and the state auditor's office reviewed the operation here and said it meets all the requirements that they would expect it to meet. I think he kind of beat you.
You mentioned Estes replacing Frazier.
Yes, sir.
What's your feeling on that?
Well, Senator Estes has been vice chair of that committee now for some time. I've worked with Senator Estes a lot. He knows the issues. He's already asked me and some other folks to come in and talk to him about things that he's thinking about trying to do within the committee. It was actually his idea to split water out from natural resources because he thought he was going to be chair of the Ag Committee and he wanted water. And Senator Perry got that instead. So my assumption is the lieutenant governor is going to leave it the way it is. But that just, I say that to give you an indication that he understands how important the water issues are and he will focus on it. He's been there. He's been through all the discussions. I think he'll do an excellent job.
Actually, to follow up with your question, I think I see this as more of an opportunity than a challenge. Those of us who know Troy Frazier and love him dearly, as we all do, there weren't many times he invited us in to give our input. And so I think we have an opportunity here to maybe get in on the ground floor and help do some education where we haven't in the past in the Senate.
And like Senator Frazier, part of his district is in the Brazos Basin, so they have a dog in the hunt, so to speak. Yes, sir.
What effect, in your opinion, if any, would the EPA
Waters Rule, if implemented, have on not just the Brazos River, but all rivers?
Not
sorry,
this rule?
The Waters Rule, WOTUS.
Water to the United States.
Yeah, where they regulate all the water everywhere.
I used to run the environmental agency here in the state, and I don't think Texas wears this as a badge of honor to constantly fight the EPA over everything they do. It just turns out that way. Because that's a horrible rule. That's an overreach. If any of you guys that are out in the northern part of your basin up in the Panhandle area where you got Playa Lakes. Playa Lakes are just little suppressions in the earth. When it rains, water shows up in them and it stays there till it evaporates. Well, those are waters of the United States under this rule. And you're a rancher out there or an agricultural person, and all of a sudden now you've got these little donut holes all over your land that the federal government says we can tell you what to do around this. And that's not good. I think that's going to get the same kind of challenge that a lot of the things that the EPA has tried to do in Texas. Texas has got a pretty good record so far in combating some of it. But it's everybody's focused on it. But you can't legislate your way out of it. That's the problem. The federal government has that kind of trump card. And we've already seen now where the environmental community has, because of steps the legislature took last session on the permitting process, have now asked that the feds, the EPA, withdraw its delegation of permitting programs in water, air, and waste from the state of Texas, meaning you'd have to go get a federal permit instead of a state permit. And obviously, Texas isn't going to agree with that. Anything else? Well, thank y'all very much. Buddy, you want to say anything?
Sir, thank you very much.
Thank y'all. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Buddy and Dan. We appreciate what you do. We'll take about a 10-minute break and be back in here in 10 minutes.
You don't feel well about it.